Before I get started this week, I wanted to make sure that I gave a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and mind-body coach based in Los Angeles. She's been on the pod 3 times so far, and I especially want you to check out episode 210. Here she guides you through a shorter breathwork session for decreasing stress and fear and releasing emotions that you can heal mentally and physically. You know, we often talk about calming the nervous system, cultivating more self-compassion, feeling our rage, and other tough emotions. We know it's not just about talking or learning these concepts. We got to actually do the work, and many of us just don't know how. Through Jeannie's one-on-one TMS coaching program, you will receive personalized support, accountability, consistency to do just that, and of course, take back your health. Jeannie offers free 45-minute consults where she'll give you customized strategies and offer somatic tools so you can take the next steps towards healing your TMS symptoms. Go to her website, jeanniecolwin.com. That's JeannieKulwin.com, and book your free call to see if it's a good fit. February the 23rd. Thank you so much for coming back to the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein, and wanted to give a shout out to the patrons of the podcast. If you're interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast. Throw a few bucks in the tip jar, help keep this on the air for free. Let me give a shout out to Albert, Jeff, Julie, Albert, Deborah, Daniel, Kirk, Emily, Amanda, Elise, Enda, Dominic, Sasha, John, Jason, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Michael, Mike, Christina, Ross, Julie, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast every single week and every single month. And as a reminder, next Wednesday, I think it's March the 1st, I'm doing a live Q&A, a live session with patrons of the show. You're going to be emailed early next week or sent a message on Patreon early next week, the link to be able to get in. It'll be a YouTube live, but it'll be a restricted room to only people that have the link. So be on the lookout for that. So last week we had a great interview with Aaron Deal. And this is going to be part two. So check out in the show notes. You can learn a little bit more about her. It's got her social links and things like that. Really, really enjoyed this conversation. It's unique to have somebody with a background of improv and talking about TMS healing and how those things can intermingle. And so I'm very excited for you to check that out. So without further ado, here is the big deal, Aaron Deal and I. It's sort of a hard pivot. I don't actually know the best transition to get into it. But this has nothing to do with the next series of kind of questions and part of this. Where in the country are you?
Yeah, I'm in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay. So there is, I think it's in Charleston. Yeah, I'm nearly sure. So there's a guy that he has a podcast. He's not in this space at all. I happened to catch a vlog of his at an event that we were both at years ago, and I think he's great. I think he's funny and all that kind of stuff. His name's Gary Cantrell. But he lives in Virginia, and he takes these periodic trips to where he says is his favorite place on earth. And I'm pretty sure it's Charleston, South Carolina.
Yes.
But I had recently saw that you were in Chicago, and you were basically talking about the cold and how you just can't do it. And that's where you spent so many years there. And it's funny because I was supposed to be in Schaumburg this week for some corporate. Well, I was supposed to go in December. And I had a surgery in December, so that wasn't going to happen. And then I was supposed to go this week, and I was just like trying to think of every excuse under the sun, because I've been to Chicago in January and February, and it's awful. And so I got that.
Yeah.
I got this trip kicked out to May, thankfully, because it is beautiful there in May. But so you were born in Chicago, or that's where you're originally from?
No, I was born in South Carolina, but then I just moved all over the place. Like I moved when I was 8 to Georgia. I moved when I was 13 to a suburb of Detroit. And then I went to college at Clemson. Then I went to Chicago for 15 years and then came back to the Southeast.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right. So again, has nothing to do with any of that, but I was just curious on where you actually are. Again, the way that I found you was that you were talking to the filmmaker for the film All the Rage. If you haven't seen it or you haven't heard of it, which I talk about it nearly every episode. So by now, unless you're a new listener, you would have heard about it. About chronic pain and chronic illness and kind of all this stuff. And again, there was sort of like a peripheral, but there wasn't a full story from you, at least that I heard in those two episodes. So where's your story in this realm? How far does it go back? And let's begin there. And then I want to get into kind of how you found really your way out. But let's begin with where did it start?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I started that series with my journey. So if you want, I'm going to give you a highlight reel today. If you want to start at one, it's, I'll tell you what episode, but it's the first episode of the self-healing series.
Okay.
And it, I will tell you this too. It is, it's a long story. So
yeah.
But I can shorten it. Here's really what happened. I started Improve It when I was 30 years old. And for me, this was my baby. I was obsessed with this idea. I wanted it to come to life before I had a family of my own. My husband and I have been together a really long time. We waited a while to have a child. We had a lot of infertility issues paired with a genetic disorder that also was quite challenging to navigate. So I was going through infertility treatments for probably 3.5 years until we finally got our miracle here. And after that, went right back to work 3 months later. And then a month after I went back to work, the pandemic hit. And then I was trying to save our business because we were completely in-person business. I was trying to flip us completely virtual in order to survive, which I had to do on top of taking care of my new child. Through this time period, my mom had a stroke and almost died. And so we decided to come to South Carolina to help my dad and to be with her, and decided to move across the country.
Why not? Just add it on. Throw it on.
Yeah. Through all of this, I'm still giving to so many people. I am a recovering people pleaser. I have a really hard time with letting go of control of things. And so I was trying to control all of these situations and also please everyone. I use humor and work as ways to disassociate from the emotions that I was going through at all of these time periods. So my infertility treatment started in 2017. So from 2017 to 2019, or 2016, I should say, 2016 to 2019, I'm going through infertility treatments. 2019, I got pregnant and I had a baby. 2020 hits, I have said child and my business implodes, my identity, my life, everything that I've built. And then my mother almost dies, who's my rock. And then a big move across the country also occurs. I never in those times took a moment to really understand, like I was like, oh, I'm sad, or oh, this is hard, but I never processed all of it because I was just reacting to the next thing because the next thing kept happening. So in 2021, I developed severe pain in my lat muscles, severe pain. Like it was almost as if when I would go to bed at night, it felt like my body was just, you know, if you clench your body really tight, that's what it felt like. Yep. And it felt like that all day long. And so I went to doctors and I went to my general practitioner. They had me go to physical therapy. That didn't work. Found a chiropractor, went to like 8 sessions. That didn't work. Went to a acupuncturist and did some cupping work. And then I went back to my general practitioner. They did the blood tests for autoimmune diseases, cancer, and x-rays. And they were like, nothing is wrong with you. It was so frustrating because I'm living in this pain, Eddie. It was like I would cry every night to my husband and I would buy all types of things. I have every ergonomic chair and pillow and mat that you could ever ask for on Amazon. I mean, it was okay. It's your desk. It's your chair. I got a standing desk, and it would not go away.
What? Just curious. The sessions, particularly like with a PT and with a chiropractor, what was kind of their thought? Like, what were they attributing? Because physical medicine is very tough in general. Even with a tissue damage injury that's occurring. Like I dislocated my ankle about 2-3 years ago, skateboarding, and I just could not, it would not get better. And I kept kind of treating it as like a mind body issue, and the pain would go away, but the function was not there. And so What were they telling you about what was going on?
So they all said different things.
Of course. Okay. Okay. I kind of figured that'd be the answer, but just checking.
Yeah. And so here's what happened. After that audit, those tests happened and they told me nothing was wrong. Guess what happened? It went away. Now, 6 months later, I start doing keynote speaking. I am kind of starting a business again within a business. And this is way more vulnerable because this is just me. Imposter syndrome, limiting beliefs, all these things start creeping in. Yep. Guess what comes back?
The pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this time with a vengeance. And so I do all the things again. I find a new chiropractor. The first thing, this is a new chiropractor, okay, not the same one, he says to me is, how is your mental health? Can you imagine if every doctor started with that question?
It took about 25 or 26 before somebody asked me that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I listed everything. He goes, what's happened to you in the past 5 years? Before he ever looked at my back. And I told him everything I just told you. And he goes, okay, we need a therapist.
Wow. Good for that. Good for him. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was in therapy during my infertility treatments, but I had moved and she. I ended up, this leads me to Sarna. I'll get there in just a second. So I found an intuitive coach that I loved. I'd known him for a long time. And he's like a life coach, but does some clairvoyant work and is an intuitive. And I said, Michael, his name is Michael. I said, I got to work with you. So he does an intake form. First, before we ever talk, he goes, you need to get this book, When the Body Says No by Gabor Mate. Read the book. Coming back from first five keynotes I've done in person. I've done a lot virtually, but in person on a plane. And the book talks very similarly about Sarno, that we all have this anger, these unprocessed emotions can lead to physical pain. And so I'm coming back on this red eye flight. I read the last chapter of the book. I slam the cover and I slam the book down and I start sobbing on this plane because I'm sitting there thinking how pissed I am. I'm pissed. I'm like, I am so pissed. This is it. And I'm sobbing. So I come home. And I'm thinking, I'm driving home at like 11 o'clock at night. Tomorrow, I'm healing myself. I'm going to process these emotions. It's going to take a day. Oh, no. So it was just crazy, Eddie. I started leading into this book. Then I read another book about how to heal, which led me to Sarno. I found Sarno kind of on accident. I don't even know how I found Sarno. And as soon as I read that book about TMS, I knew. I said, this is me. Like, this is what I've been going through.
Yeah.
And I know I'm talking a lot, so stop me here. But I this is really, for anybody listening, what really kind of was the breaking point for me was when in the book he talks about resume all physical activity. I had stopped running, which is the one thing that brings me joy and like clears my head. Yep. I had stopped lifting my son. I had stopped doing, I was victimizing myself. And as soon as I said, all right, here we go, I'm getting back out. That day I said, okay, I'm going to try running again. I went for a run. I bent over in the shower to pick up a bar of soap. And then I hear a big pop. And it's not in my shoulders or my lats where all my pain is. It's at the lower part of my back. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that I had a chiropractor appointment with the same chiropractor that day for my shoulders. He was doing some dry needling work at the time. And I go in, I can't move. I'm literally laying on the bathroom floor after this happens in pain, crying. My husband comes in there and finds me and I scream to him, I'm broken. Like, I am broken and I'm sobbing and I'm naked on the floor, yeah, sobbing because I'm broken. And I had, and it was almost as if every emotion that I hadn't felt in the past 5 years came rushing back to me in that moment. And I went to the chiropractor. He said, "You have sprained your back. Like, you sprained an ankle, you have sprained your back. It's going to heal in 5 days." Guess what? It healed in 5 days.
Yep.
But then the pain was still there. So I kept going through this healing. I was doing a lot of journaling. I went in a healing cocoon. I didn't really want to be social. Which is really hard for me in my job. And as an extroverted human, it was extremely difficult because it wasn't like me, but I had to go inward so I could give outwardly.
Yeah.
And I just realized I had given to every single person and thing. I have been people pleasing and striving for this idea of perfection that never exists. I was angry at many people and many things that happened, but I was the most angry at myself. Like, that was it. And I had to process that. And I don't know if you've ever seen the television show with Marie Kondo. It's this cute woman. She goes in homes and she organizes closets and people's kitchens and rooms. And so they're always very disorganized looking. And she goes in, she'll take items that no longer serve people. She'll tell them thank you because these don't spark joy for you anymore. Let them go. And so I felt like my brain was this huge closet filled with drawers and drawers of unprocessed emotions. And I had to go through each drawer, each sort of event in my life, take what no longer served me, say thank you to it for the experience, and then organize the shit out of my brain.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And then to round the story out, my pain went away.
How long ago are we talking at this point?
Like a month ago. Like, it, wow, literally, I went through this journey probably middle of December.
Wow.
So a month and a half ago.
By the way, it's episode 140 of your podcast. Looks like it was the first in the self-healing series based on, yeah, what I could see. Wow. So this was very recent, all this stuff. How has this experience, if at all, because it's only been a couple of months, how has it changed how you've done your job?
Oh my God, it's changed everything.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
I know. I'm like laughing. I'm like, where do you want me to start? No, it has officially made, so where this all came to be, and I've read many books throughout this process, but I had to forgive ultimately myself for the hatred that I told myself, the perfectionism, the people pleasing, all the things. It wasn't anybody else's fault. I had to take ownership for my part and my own journey. And through that lens, I started to really love myself. And I know this feeling, this saying of self-love sounds so cliche, but there is no way that I could show up and do what I do if I don't love me first. Yeah. And I know that I was meant to go through this journey because I am meant to speak on these stages and talk about it so that I can help other people process their own pain and find the silver lining through their failures so ultimately they can have a more peaceful existence on earth. That is it. And it's changed my why. It's changed the feeling that I feel every single day when I show up to work. I feel inspired. I feel as if I have evolved into the person I'm supposed to be so I can help others reach their potential. And all of this sounds so cliche, but it is for real what I feel. And it is crazy the difference it has made in my life.
You know, one thing that comes to mind, and I want you to comment on this, is that the last thing that you had said, one of the things that I play this game sometimes where I think about, like, what would a critic say of this entire, because mm-hmm. that's one thing, is that I was so loud and proud about TMS work and mind body stuff and all that in the very beginning of doing this podcast. And it's something where I don't, unless somebody asks about it in my personal circle, I don't really talk about it. And maybe that's something I need to shell out or deal with at some point. But I just don't really talk about it. And because the thought or the response has tended to be, oh, so I wake up and I think positive and that's going to solve all my problems and get rid of my pain. And the explanation of why that's not the case is so long that I don't, maybe I'll do a whole podcast episode on that someday.
You should.
I should. And maybe I'll steal your thunder at some point for what I'm about to ask you. What would you say to somebody that would say that to you? Because you struggled for a long time in a very, like in a relatively dark period of time, just in our history in the world. If somebody were to say, so Aaron, all you're telling me to do is wake up and feel happy and that's, and then my, you know, my lat issues will go away. Like what's your response?
Yeah. That's a really good question. Okay. I want to share this and then I'm going to answer that, but I have to share this part first because what you just hit on was that it was my lat muscles. So can I tell you something, what I've realized through this mind body connection, why I feel like my lat muscles were the trigger point for the pain? Because we use our lats to pick up things, right? Like that's literally like you lift anything, you're using your lat muscles. I was picking up everybody's stuff. Everyone's stuff. And that is really hard to do energetically when your job is to give energy. And so where this comes from, it's this return to yourself. It's more than just wake up and be positive and say, this isn't my pain. It is, okay, girl, we're going to wake up today. We're going to love ourselves today. And if in the moment that it's so connected to spirituality for me, I'm not a religious person. I'm very spiritual. It's surrendering to the fact that we have a purpose and that we create fear isn't real. Literally, it's love. It's self-love that is real. We are born on this earth with love. We aren't born and wake up and we're scared, right? We're crying because we need food, but we are born with love and then we learn fear. And so that fear is another manifestation into pain. The more you allow yourself to be afraid and to fear this pain, the more it's going to take over your body, which takes over your mind. And so if you start with the mind first, you have the ability to control the body. That's really where it is for me. It's like what I put up here affects my body. And I've noticed this. I like a good cocktail. Let me tell you something. Every time I have more than two or three cocktails now, my mind feels different the next day and my body feels different. And we all can feel that connection, right? So that's just right in itself. Like you have a couple drinks, your mind's not right. Your body's not right the next day. It's so transformative. And I've really recognized that now. And I think for anyone listening, it's not just this positivity game. It is literally putting into your brain good positive fuel so that you can give out that same energy, because you can't give outwardly if you don't give in.
Yep. I agree. What's your partner or your spouse's take on, that's a pretty dramatic change over the course of, I know you would kind of discovered this stuff and had gone through it in the last couple of months, but you know, this also has stretches back to a couple of years ago whenever I'm talking or interviewing people, I always think of life sort of as before problems got too big or pain got too big to ignore. And so you have had a pretty dramatic change, but it's been over the course of a couple of years, even if being told to go see a shrink and read this book and do this kind of stuff was only in the last couple of months. This still has stretches going back a couple of years ago. So what's the response from does he think you're crazy? Because at the very beginning, my wife was very supportive and she very much understood what I was saying. But I would say that in the last 2-3 years or so, she's understood it on a far deeper level. Just in sort of the impact of life's events, and life's chapters having these further reaching impacts on us and our physiology and things like that. What's the response from your spouse or anybody else that you care to comment that's close to you?
Yeah. So we've been together a really long time, 14 years, and we were friends first. So we have this really, I think, beautiful friendship. And I know him. He knows me better than anybody, right? He and in the beginning, when I started going to all these doctor's appointments and trying to figure out the cause of the pain, it almost was like, I won't say he was annoyed, but he was kind of like, why are you going to all these appointments? Like, he didn't understand the severity until he saw how, and he's a very empathic person. So until he actually saw how much it was affecting my day to day, and he helped me find all these, you know, ergonomic chairs and things and pillows and all of the things. When he noticed how bad it was when I started reading the books, because I had no clue how to process it. I really had no clue. I didn't even know what I was going through at the time. I was just feeling the pain. He witnessed me break, and he was like, that was the hardest thing. When I'm literally lying there on my bathroom floor screaming, I'm broken. It's almost as if you're in the film All the Rage, and you see Michael, when you see Michael lying on the floor in that very specific part of the movie, that was me. And he said, all I want you to do is get better. We'll do whatever it takes. And so he has a degree actually in organizational psychology. He solves problems all day long at his job. And it's so interesting. The self-discovery that I've had, he knew all along. He was like, you didn't know that you people pleased this much and or that you have a problem with letting go of control. Look at our house, you know, like it. And so he actually is so happy for me because I have freedom in my brain, where he witnessed a person who did not for a very long time. My name is Erin. It means peace. Literally the name, my meaning of my name is peace. I have never lived that truth in 40 years on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until now. And he's really, he was skeptical. I don't want people listening to think that he was on board at the very beginning when I started sharing some of the fundamentals. But when he started seeing the transformation, that's when he truly believed, and he has leaned in as far as I have gone, and I will say is here for it, because it doesn't – this is the thing. This work doesn't just impact me.
Yeah.
It impacts him. It impacts my son. It impacts my team that I lead, my clients that I serve, the people in our audiences, all of it. And that's what Sarno did, was he truly created a book that can change the world, but it starts with one person.
I think that's really a perfect way of putting it. Thank you for sharing that story. This has been such a fun conversation. We're a couple minutes over from what it was. Are you good right now? Are you like rushing to
I'm
thing?
Good.
Okay, you're good. I guess, like, how do you foresee? Because again, there's only been a couple of months of runway of kind of since, you know, sort of a pretty big life change transformation. And again, I talk about this going back really a couple of years, if you're comfortable with sharing, because you had mentioned that you're 40, I'm 37. And so one of the things that I did in the beginning was very much like taking an inventory, where I looked back and I said, okay, 2016 is really where this all got too much for my body to bear. And it quite literally felt like it broke, similar to what you had said. However, I then went back and I could see, oh, well, this was happening in this year and this was happening this year, meaning I kept having these taps on the shoulder, as Sarno called them, knocks at the door, that were saying, hey, time to think about this stuff. But I wasn't addressing them because I didn't have any knowledge of it. So I'd go to the doctor, I'd get the painkillers, I would, you know, sit out for 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. But I was finding all these things from earlier in life, pain issues and persistent problems. And I mean, everything from allergies and asthma to, orthopedic injuries that just kept popping up over and over for no rhyme or reason. Have you gone back and given some thought, or do you have some examples of things that maybe physically you were feeling years ago, way before your body just felt like it was breaking, that now you could say, oh, well, now that I have the foresight to see that this was going on in my life at that time, oh, and then I had this particular issue. Like, was there longstanding pain or symptoms or things like that that you had years back that now you can look back and say, this was a TMS thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And let me tell, and I want to just say really quickly too, like right now I don't have pain, but 2 weeks ago I did, and I got rid of it because I used the mindset, and it will flare from time to time when I'm picking up too much, when I'm people pleasing and stressed.
Yeah.
That's when it flares. But I can look back as when I moved in third grade I was 8 years old, and I remember having pain in my body. I told my mom I had cancer, and I was like, Mom, take me to the doctor. I have cancer. Wow. And she took me, and they were like, nothing is wrong with you.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. But I know what that was from. I moved. I was 8 years old. I left everything I'd ever known. Everything I'd ever known, and moved to a new town where I knew no one and had to start all over. And that pain, and I know that pain too. I can feel that pain. It's almost like just like this dull ache. And I know when it comes because I've had that several other instances in my life, and it's because I am not listening to myself. Yeah. I'm not slowing down. I'm doing too much. I'm overconsumed in my brain, and I haven't processed anything. And I really, it's the mind-body connection now that I'm aware of it. I'm so aware of it. Like almost sometimes I wish I wasn't as aware because because I was just like with my best friends this weekend and we had some fun and we were drinking and I was like, God, why did I do this? You know, and the pain didn't come back, but I just feel things more now,
yeah,
which is crazy and great at the same time.
Yeah. I think that's definitely like a residual thing that occurs in people that have sort of gone through this sort of stuff. And I say that like in a good way. It's become kind of like a joke concept, but you and I and lots of people that are listening right now have had this period of time where their lives were really upended by some kind of a symptom or an issue or anything like that. And it was awful. However, it probably was one of the more important things, if not the most important thing, that has happened in your story. And when I say your, I mean all of us, but your story, because it really did open your eyes to, you know, sort of what's going on. And I it's interesting because now I'm in my late 30s and I feel more strong and capable than I ever did in my 20s, which not a lot of people that are my age as athletes, male athletes in particular, who have these massive egos, and then, you know, they may see a taper off in performance and that becomes a really hard thing to handle. And then suddenly they have this injury pop up. And to me, a lot of that stuff, nearly all of that stuff, is a mind body related issue. I have felt, as close to bulletproof as there could be for as long as I've known about Sarno's work. That's been a residual for me personally. And I would imagine that as the next few months and years roll on in your story, that you're going to feel something similar.
I hope so. And I love that for you. That is, what a better way to live. It just is. It's a freeing space.
Yeah.
I hope you do continue. And I hope I have that. I really do.
Yeah. You know, it'd be cool is if, I know you'd said that you're a runner. I don't know how much of a runner, but you hate the Chicago weather sometimes, but it would be kind of cool for you to go and like do like the Chicago Marathon at some point.
I did something. It.
Oh, you did it. You have done it.
Yes.
Okay.
In 2010. But then I ran a half last year with my pain. Okay. In New Orleans. And I was like, nope, can't do that again. But maybe again. Yeah. I mean, it is honestly the thing is, again, running is a mind body sport.
Yep.
Like you can do it if you put your, this is so cheesy. You can do it if you put your mind to it, but yep, you really can. And it's just that right there is the mind body connection. That's running. Running. I used to be able to tell myself I can't run a mile. And then I ran 26.2 at one time, you know, like it's crazy. Yep. It's crazy what you can tell yourself to do and you can do it.
It's funny you said, so I'm not much of a runner, more of a strength athlete. However, I have been trying to get into a little bit more endurance, and this was just last week, but like the workout that I was doing had called for, they weren't designed to be sprints, but they were designed to be, you're doing 1 mile intervals. So you do a mile, take the rest as needed, and then do another mile, take the rest as needed. And I think there was five of them. And all of them, I was cutting about a 7.5 minute pace.
That's awesome.
But my whole thought was like, I would get a half mile into it or 3/4 mile into it. And I kept looking at my heart monitor and just being like, I don't want to exceed, I think it was 152 beats per minute was where I had put my ceiling because I didn't want to get going too quick. And again, this is a mind thing. So it's consciously like slowing down my breathing and just like getting into a, like utilizing the mind. Cause like, you know, my feet are hurting or my knees are hurting and it was a rough week of training or whatever. But when I did get zeroed in on that, I never stopped and I kept the same pace for all five rounds, which is like, that's not an easy thing to do. Usually you'll see a taper unless you're really using the like a mind body connection for it, which that's like the only way that I can put it. But you're right that of maybe all of the sports, running probably has the biggest element of that mind body piece that I can think of.
Yeah, it's crazy. And kudos to you. My pace is not 7 minutes. It is in the double digits, okay? She's in the double ditch. And I'm like a granny hobbling along. But you know what? And then my chiropractor also said, he goes, are you a runner? You need to stop running. And that's why I stopped running. And he said, I go, yeah, I had a knee brace for this half. And he was like, you're running with a knee brace. Like, why are you doing
that
to yourself? And I do think, too, it's mental, it's physical. Kudos to you too for seeing that and also getting yourself to the finish line and continuing to love the sport. I think it's what brings you joy, lean into. And if it's not bringing you joy, push back. And for me, running right now is like running 2 minutes and then walking 2 minutes and running 2 minutes and walking two. And that's okay. But it is this mind body connection that I think if people can really tap into, they will find freedom and happiness in everything they do, every single area from working out to work to parenting. It's crazy.
God, the bringing you joy part is really, we're going to wrap up here in a minute, but the bringing you joy part, and this is a piece of advice for anybody listening. I get emails all the time from people all around the world that will say something along the lines of, I was doing X sport, let's say I was lifting or whatever, like I was doing weightlifting or whatever, and I feel the pain in the same spot that, you know, that has been my TMS spot basically. And the first thing I always ask is, do you actually enjoy it though? Like, is that a physical exercise? Because I love weightlifting, but that doesn't mean that you love weightlifting. So
yeah,
do you actually enjoy it? And if the answer is no, there's a billion things that you could go do. You could go on walks, you could go on hikes, you could kayak, you could rollerblade, you could ride a skateboard. Like there's so many different things to do. And the first part is what you had said. Does it bring you joy? Because if the answer is no, or even there's something else out there that you could do that will not bring you pain. And it's not because of the actual activity itself, but it's like, what does it mean to you? Because intent is 100% of it.
I'm so here for that. 1,000%. And it's almost as if we keep pushing at this one thing because we think we have to master it. And the good news is you can tell yourself you don't have to.
Yep.
You can go somewhere else.
Yep. Okay. People are listening to this. They say, man, Erin Deal, she is the real deal. I love listening to her. Where can they find you or learn more about you, whether it's on social or a website or things like that? What do you got?
Well, you can go to our website, which is the www, that's the World Wide Web, learntoimproveit.com. And then my Instagram, again, this is me fail fluencing. I just sort of made it public a couple years ago in 2020, and I'm still playing around with what that is, but it's keeping it real deal, and it's no G. So keeping and no G, it real deal, DIEHL. And then also Erin Deal from Improve It at LinkedIn. And I spend most of my time in those two places.
Awesome. I'll put this again in the show notes. So if you didn't catch what she had said, you can either hit the tap 15 seconds back button or just look in the show notes and it'll be there and you'll be able to find it. Erin, this was even better than I had anticipated. I loved talking to you. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much, Eddie.
Okay. Take care, Erin. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.